This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Steve Stepanovich, Dirk Minifield, Joey Devine, Scooter McRae, Granville Waiters, Sean Keane, Greg Kite, Thurl Bailey, special guest Katie Heindel, Patreons Lee Fischetti, thank you Lee, Ronald Langford, thank you Ronald, DJ Eli Fresh Mode, thank you DJ Eli Fresh Mode, hire him for your weddings and other events, musical guest Japandroids, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, my best friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good, I guess, all things considered. I should mention, this is our first free podcast before the world fell apart. We covered this on our Patreon a little bit. For those of us, for those of you who don't get our Patreon, I just want to be very clear where we as a podcast stand, right, Sean? That Black Lives Matter, that we should abolish the police, we should defund and abolish them. The system has failed this country, and especially people of color. We donated our entire Patreon this month to, Black Lives Matter organizations, and, we're gonna continue pointing out organizations we think we are going to donate to, and we think our listeners should donate to. Right, Sean? Is there anything else I need to say?
Yeah.
I'm always very bad at not
right.
I'm a Catholic at heart, so sharing my emotions is very difficult.
and saying anything that has to do with money, either giving or receiving it, is just No, I just specifically wanted to say one place that I'm donating, which is...
No, and we want to encourage our listeners this week. We'll have another place next week, but I think we're going to continue this for a while.
There's lots of resources. I wanted to highlight a place. I used to work at a nonprofit that gave attorneys to prisoners with no money for many years, and... this organization, there's an organization called the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. It is based out of, I think they're in Fruitvale in Oakland, and they do a lot of work about, helping with juvenile incarceration. They've done a lot of lobbying to get California youth authorities. It's called something else. Anyway, juvenile jails getting closed or limiting. They really limited the expansion of the Alameda County Juvenile Center about 15 years ago. But they do a lot of work about, divesting, not divesting, but changing, you know, making budgets reflect helping the communities instead of devoting so much money to law enforcement and harassment and incarceration. And also just, they advocate for making prisons and jails less terrible and, and also, less expensive, too. That's not shouldn't be the priority, but also our terrible prison system is also a financial drain as well as essentially a crime. So Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, ellabakercenter.org.
So that's who we're going to be donating to this week. Please join us. We'll share the link in the description of the podcast and on our Twitter. Sorry for not posting an episode the last couple of weeks. I did not feel equipped as a comedy podcast about basketball to talk about this, and that was maybe my failing. But Black Lives Matter, all cops are bastards, defund the police, mayors are cowards. Patreon.com, roundrockpod, whatever, at roundrockpod@gmail.com, Twitter at roundrockpod.
The Discord is still popping off.
Yeah, Discord is always popping off.
It's popping off pretty hard, honestly.
But we're here to talk. There was, unfortunately, the NBA decided to make news, so we're here to talk about it. should we talk some news, Sean?
Let's talk about the news.
All right.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, our top story. Nikola Jokic is skinny now. There was a picture of him. He looked very, very skinny. And I didn't feel equipped to talk about this.
No, alone. It's too emotional an issue.
Yeah, and when it comes to the emotions of someone's body in basketball, there's only one person to turn to. It's our friend from the Basketball Podcast. From Yahoo Sports Canada, from Vice Sports, from The Shocker, from the Basketball Feelings newsletter. We called our friend Katie Heindel to talk about this. Here's Katie. All right, to cover our top story, which is, of course, body shaming and body pausing, Nikola Jokic, we brought in someone I knew would have a lot to say about the subject, from the Basketball Podcast, from the Basketball Feelings newsletter, from this podcast a lot. It's our friend up from the Great White North, Katie Heindel. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey.
Nice to hear you. I have to say, secretly, I'm more happy when I'm just on instead of with someone else.
Oh, no, that is completely fair.
Wow.
You need our undivided attention, but shots fired at Sean Woodley. Who's,
yeah,
who's
this, a delight, that's, this is Woodley but also, erasure.
But this is a real crew. Has Sean Woodley ever attended an Aerosmith concert for no reason during NBA Summer League? No, he hasn't.
No.
Does he know the magic of the Gremlins slot machine in on the Fremont Street Strip? No, he doesn't.
The magic and the curse. Well, I was thinking more along the lines of, like, if we're going to talk about being proprietary, then I feel like I'm proprietary of your friendships.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've also met in person, whereas with Sean, I have, like, kind of a vague idea of what he looks like, but also my mental image is always like I take photos I've seen of Sean and then I try to imagine him drinking an entire pitcher of beer from the pitcher as he did to celebrate the Toronto Raptors World Championship last year.
That's a good image.
Enough inside friendship talk. It's time to talk about my large son.
Yes. So is this officially body shaming launch with Katie Heindel? Is that going to be a new feature?
Maybe it should be.
So when I saw this picture of Nikola Jokic, who is skinny, he's very skinny. I initially thought it was Kristaps Porzingis. That's how skinny he was.
I absolutely did too.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why is he allowed? It doesn't look like this guy has any restraining orders against him.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's a force for joy. This must be Jokic.
I thought I need to know what Katie Heindel thinks about skinny Jokic. And I texted her and she had a lot to say. So Katie, let's just open up real quickly. How do you feel about the discourse around Nikola Jokic being skinny now?
I hate it. I hate it. And that's what I told you. I hate it so much. It makes me so angry. What mostly makes me angry is that there's any discourse at all. Like it's not even that it's worth talking about. It's just like nobody's business. And it makes me feel like I know there's a lot and I do this too. I mean, you could say that's all that basketball feelings is, but like to take a lot from basketball that is like nothing to do with it. Like obviously we all reach at times, but there's nothing like this kind of talk about players and their bodies and their physical appearances that makes me feel more like everybody should get a life.
Katie, why are you upset about me worrying about the weight fluctuations of my very large son?
Stop.
Okay, for listeners, something that Katie said to me yesterday was, I fucking hate it when perverts refer to basketball players as their very large son. So now I'm doing it constantly. Yeah. I also hate it. It's weirdly infantilizing and also, I'm going to say weirdly, it makes me sad when people refer to someone they don't know who's probably the same age as them as their quote unquote son.
I was wondering, like, what was the tipping point of people on Twitter and in like comment sections saying son? Like, I think I'm not positive about this, but I believe the first one I can really remember being commonly done was the Cubs Kyle Schwarber. Back in 2016, Katie, I know this is a baseball player and you loathe
inside
him.
Baseball.
Yeah. But Kyle Schwarber is like, he looks like he's like a player from the 1930s who hit dingers, if that makes sense. Like, yes. Kind of has that Babe Ruth body a little bit with like real big.
So,
top
Katie,
thing.
Baseball is like hockey and that one guy holds a stick.
Thanks.
But it also makes a little bit more sense to me for baseball, just because there's so many games and the games are so slow that it makes a little more sense that you have these sort of like unjustified personal narratives. And Kyle Schwarber would like run around the outfield in kind of an unfocused way, almost like a kid, if that makes sense.
See, I think this is bubble shit for you, Sean, like you being in a sports bubble. Because this
the large sun thing?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Coming from baseball? No.
Well, people didn't start saying it until like 5 years ago.
Right, but this
and
all
I don't
comes
think from... people said it about basketball.
But no, this comes from the internet. It's never talk to me or my son again. And it expanded out of that meme.
Right, but I'm just saying it. People didn't start saying it about basketball until like much more recently than they were talking about it. Like, it seems like it definitely I just think it definitely came from baseball players just because they like look like oversized children and basketball players in general just don't. And then, yeah, I just don't get it. It always seems creepy to me.
I mean, Joey, like you kind of hit on it. Like the more I've been thinking about it, because it's always bothered me. And I think what has made me more angry this week and like calling people perverts a lot is because just like the rate at which people seem to be talking about Jokic, it does have to do, I think, with the bubble of sports. And I think like the bubble also like specifically of basketball, because if you said this kind of shit about like any person in the street, or if you just like took a long and hard look, you know, at like someone walking by you, you would be objectifying them blatantly. And then if you said this kind of shit to them, they might like slap you in the face. So it, you know, it's not acceptable, but there's something about the, this like bubble of sports that makes it feel like, you know, it's passable. Like,
man, there's going to be a lot of bubble talk on this show today.
It's true. Everything, yeah, this is bubble
fucking bubbles all the time.
It's not the magic bubble, but like, well, you don't have to call it a bubble. I guess you could call it a, I think it's like a vacuum tube, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it, there's some kind of protection in it. And it's like, oh, it's an inside, like inside joke, but there's also something to do it too. It's like this, using this language of like front office, right? Of like calling players assets is like another thing mm-hmm. that is like super, I think super fucked up, but it's like whenever you're basically like divorcing a player, like a person from their body, mm-hmm. which I think that's what the biggest thing about it that bothers me is, because there's something in that that has to do with like permission, like basically who feels like they have the permission to talk about a player in a proprietary way. And like, it usually is one type of person that like makes these kinds of comments, and whether they slide to the stupid, like, my large son, like chummy joking shit, or if it's, it stays just in like, you know, people that get really upset when they see Jokic gain weight because they worry about what it's going to do to his numbers. Mm-hmm. It's like two, kind of like two sides of the same stupid perverted coin person.
Mm-hmm. So you hate, it's not just the slim down talk. You hated the chunky Jokic talk at the beginning too. Did you hate the Dwight Howard talk too? At the beginning of the season?
What was his talk? That he
lost, he like was in 40 pounds? Well, and got like really skinny as opposed to being a very muscular man before.
I mean, I get it that it's like, you know, basketball is so visual, and like you can't, like if someone drops a ton of weight or like gets super cut, it's hard not to notice if you're watching them play. Mm-hmm. So I think you could say like, wow, that guy got really in shape. But there's a step further when you're just like writing fucking articles about it, when you're like making jokes about it, when you're like making memes about it. Why are you so fixated on that switch? And I think like the chubby stuff bugs me because it really only happens, I mean, I guess it happened a little bit with Zion, but not that he was chubby, just that his body, I guess, looked quote unquote different from what people were used to. But the like chubbiness, it's mostly with white players. And I think there's something about it that it's like, oh, it's like familiar or like safe, because there's a whole other thing of like talking about black bodies in like a very abstract mm-hmm. and like messed up kind of way as well. Uh-huh. But like the Jokic stuff, like, I don't know if people were like, oh, it's, I like it because he's like fat and he can play basketball. Like, I don't know if people found that inspiring, but like, also he's not, he was never like, none of these guys are actually fat. Like, they're still playing. They're like in shape. They're still playing basketball for like 40 minutes, you know, every other night. You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like I definitely got into the celebrating large Jokic just because, well, obviously he's like a very unique looking player just in general. You know what I mean?
I believe I once described him as looking like a refrigerator.
Yeah, I in fact referred to him as a mini fridge in print this week. Yeah. He's big and white. For me it was like I felt like I had a backlash against all the people who were constantly talking about how out of shape he was, when much of that discussion came after a 4 overtime playoff game where he basically played the last like 28 minutes of the game without a rest.
I believe he played like 56 minutes in that game, right?
I think it's actually even higher. I think it was like 60 minutes. And after the game, people were just like, man, that guy really, if he ever gets in shape, it's like, oh, what, he'll only be able to dominate for, he's only able to dominate for 7.5 quarters of a basketball game right now. Like maybe his coach could have let him sit down for 30 seconds during a defensive possession. Like it's just, that part is really weird to me. The other thing that's strange about it is like, well, like you're saying, not everybody is basically every basketball player is in general in very good shape, but it's just like, it's not a weird thing that someone has a little bit of an unconventional body and succeeds in basketball. Like that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way in baseball. When you look at like, I'm sorry, I'm using a baseball player analogy again.
Again.
But there are a lot of guys in baseball who are like not that tall and have very compact kind of muscular bodies, like a Yogi Berra, like where on the street you would not think that they are necessarily good athletes, but you know, there is a range of people in the world, and it's like sometimes your different body lets you adapt well because you have a strong lower body or something like that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it's and yet like someone who is a little bit built like maybe a fire hydrant. I can say that because I'm also built like a fire hydrant, Katie. so I can say that. But it's like a body type that's been succeeding in baseball for like 140 years at this point, and people are still like blown away when they're like, whoa, the guy can hit the ball. It's like, yeah. That started happening in 1880. And, it continues to this day. So like Jokic, if you look at like basketball history, there are way more centers that look like Jokic than don't look like Jokic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a tried and true successful body type for professional basketball.
Like I get when we get, and like I know because like I've written about it, and I, the first time I watched him, like at Summer League, and then also like in the NBA, like watching Zion is like it gives you pause in like a way that you're like, you know, you're computing with what he's looks like and what he's capable of doing. He's just like a different kind of force, and he moves in a different way because of like how his body is. But I feel like, you know, when I at least when I try and write about that, I'm not doing it in a gross like fetish, like almost like fetishization way of like how he looks. I'm less fixated on like he looks wrong or different. It's just like he looks how he looks. And yeah, we're not maybe like not accustomed to that like kind of body doing these types of things, but like isn't that incredible? And like also then once you've kind of said that once, I don't know why you need to keep coming back to it. And like it's just, yeah, again, I guess like why I think it's so perverted is just because of like the fixational point, you know? And I think like, again, it's just, it's like the vacuum of it. I like, honestly, I think all the things that really bother me in basketball, and I guess like maybe sports at large, is like whatever we can do to kind of change our perspective so it's not in the vacuum, I think it's better, because like that's where all the problematic stuff comes in. Like whether, you know, you're talking about bodies in this very gross way that would be a problem in public, or like not talking about like criminal charges of players and coaches, you know, like because there it's like there's kind of a protection in the vacuum. So I think it kind of goes both ways, but it doesn't, it like flattens things, you know. Uh-huh. and I get it, like we're not like a lot of we are, but like, and other people are, but like maybe at large people aren't as adept at talking about sports in a more nuanced way. Cause like none of this, I'm not like, oh, like you're going to hurt Jokic's feelings. Like, I don't really think he gives a shit. I think I don't know him at all. And even if he didn't give a shit, it still doesn't make it okay. But with him specifically, I feel like He doesn't care what people say about him.
No.
Yeah. Like, if anyone did it.
If you made fun of one of his racehorses, that might be a problem. Totally. Hang on just a second, guys. I didn't expect this to happen. Sorry, that was a man going door to door asking people if he could poison their ants.
Cool.
People got to work.
That, and luckily, the two dogs here, which combined weigh nearly 18 pounds, defended us very aggressively from that ant poisoner. So sorry about that, guys.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So
go
to
ahead,
be
sorry.
Clear, Katie, the problem you have is not at all with what Jokic decides to do with his body. We haven't been as clear, I think, as we should be. It's with the conversation that sports writers and jokesters on Twitter are having about Jokic's body.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, a player, they can do whatever they want.
Is
their
there
body,
a word
their
you would use to describe the way people are talking about his body?
Perverted. Is that what you're looking for?
That is exactly what I'm looking for.
Well, here's what I'll also say about this body thing, but it also is sort of a general point about the NBA discourse. There's this weird instinct for people to try and, you said flatten, and I think that's the right word, but just normalize, like, literally every player that's different. Like, Zion has to lose weight, so he's more like a regular guy. Like, oh, that guy who's really good at mid-range shooting, well, he needs to start shooting threes. Everybody needs to start shooting threes and play the exact same style. And it's weird, especially if you read about the draft. That's where it's because no one really knows these guys very well. And there's this total instinct, and I'll fall into it too, of just like wanting everybody to be this sort of like platonic ideal of a basketball player, even though watching basketball is way more boring when it's like that. Like the fun guys to watch are like PJ Tucker and like how weird James Harden is. And, you know, another guy who had dramatic weight loss that the internet was celebrating again. But I just hate the idea that like every big man needs to learn how to shoot threes. Like everybody should be just be trying to catch and shoot as much as possible. If you're really good at shooting 15 footers, you need to either move forward or back 8 feet. And I really think the body thing is very similar to that. Like, it's a very analytics brain thing to just be like, no, everybody needs to have 7% body fat. Like, why wouldn't you definitely be at your best at that weight no matter what? You know?
Yeah, I think, and I have to like clarify, because this was something I kept coming back to, of like there is a line, because like obviously I've like said flattering things about like Serge Ibaka's cheekbones, or like, you know, someone else's like eyes.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
how
like,
you, how do you not say that about Serge Ibaka, the most handsome man in the NBA, if okay. not Canada itself?
And I but also like I, should, I also, before you finish, Katie, I should probably own up to the fact that I really want players to get fat all the time. And I talk about it constantly. I'm like, man, I want fat Dwight Howard. But anyway, keep going.
We wanted that for a long time, and he went aggressively in the other direction.
I think there's the line is like when it stops being observational. Not even that it has to be like complimentary. Most of my observations are complimentary about players. But like, I think, yeah, when it shifts from that into basically like objectification, when you're kind of being like, I'm a bigger expert on this guy's body than he is on his own body that he exists in, that is like when I think you should get a life, and two, I think you're a pervert. Get a life, pervert.
I honestly felt like seeing the Jokic pictures made me like more sad than anything, because it made me feel the way I feel when I see Christian Bale in a movie and he's like embraced his inner body dysmorphia and like, well, he gained or lost 70 pounds for every role. And I like look and it's like, you don't have to do that. Don't do that for us. Like,
but maybe he didn't. And also, this is the thing about that picture. The picture everyone like put side by side is like at the beginning of the season when he's like sitting down, right? And his like arm looks kind of big. And then in this picture, he's like standing up, kind of hunched forward and like wearing baggy clothes. Yes, obviously he's lost a bunch of weight, but like it's also just like maybe slightly perspectives. And like, I don't know. I got so mad when his trainer had to come out and be like, oh, like maybe because he was like, I don't want anyone to think I'm shitty at my job. Like when his trainer, who's probably worked with him this entire time he's been losing weight, had to be like, oh, he's very healthy. And like,
yeah, when he was he like, my large son is fine. Stop attacking him.
He's also, I did like when he was like, he kind of did a little subtle dig of like of the media being like, I guess you shouldn't use Google Translate. Anyway,
he's also 24 years old and has basically been playing exactly the same for three straight years. Like all he plays 32 minutes a game. He scores 20 points a game. He gets lots of rebounds. He passes a lot. Like he's for someone that gets so much speculation, he's like incredibly consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like that's I don't know what the fixation is, because like that's a very good point. You know, it's not, you've seen that whatever end of the spectrum he's at, it doesn't exactly change the way that he plays at all.
Yeah. And you can argue like if he were a guy like someone like Embiid, who it's still unfair, but at least there it's like, oh, he's had some knee injuries. Oh, he has to sit out games a lot. Like that translates a little more. Jokic just plays all the time and is like, it's like impossible to hurt him. He's, you know what I mean? Like,
now all that like, being said, who's going to be the fattest player? Is it Luka Doncic or Joel Embiid?
Also, like, emotionally, those guys are living through a pandemic just like the rest of us. You know what I mean? If I'm not mad if they didn't go to the gym every day. Maybe one day they were like, fuck this, I don't want to go to the gym. I feel like shit. We're in a like global pandemic. Shit's falling apart. You know,
gym's closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Also, I know how I, in times of stress, will go to my cultural comfort foods, potatoes. And I've done a little bit of light research into Slovenian cuisine for my songwriting efforts. And not like the most farm to table vegetable-based national cuisine in Slovenia, I'll just say. A lot of carbs.
I don't want this to happen, because I would have to just, like, I would explode. But if everyone came back fat...
Oh, it would rule. It would be so good.
Then all these people would also explode, because they wouldn't know, like, who to fixate on or, like, how to even talk about it.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to fetishize anyone, but like, how great would it be if LeBron had put on like 40 pounds and just like came out and was just like, you know, I was pretty stressed out.
Yeah,
and,
he was like, it was taco every day. I get free glazed
pizza. Yeah, I get free glazed pizza. And you know what? Like, and it just became a national dialogue on self-care. That would be really nice.
Yeah, I could give you that one. But then there would be more to it. You wouldn't just be like making stupid memes about it.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, don't make fun of my taco dad ever again, because LeBron's a dad and Jokic is a son in the NBA parlance.
And politicians are my grandparents.
Yeah, yeah. Hillary Clinton's my abuela.
And I drink water because Lin-Manuel Miranda tells me to in baby talk on Twitter. it's a weird cultural trend to be like, why can't I just be 6 years old again, but functioning as an adult?
Meanwhile,
am I a total hypocrite though? If I really want to see players eating those novelty turkey legs in Disney World, walking around eating them.
I'm sure you can see the Lopez's do that already. That's probably somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, that's probably a website that's just that, actually. Yeah, just Dole Whip in one hand, turkey leg in the other. I was so disappointed to learn that Disney World does not have a Matterhorn.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a roller coaster. That's at the one in
it's like the first Disney roller coaster.
Yeah, before that it was like, we can only have storybook rides. And then someone was like, should we have a ride that's like fun to ride on? And after like a 2-year battle, they were like, oh, I see. Can move a little faster. And it doesn't just have to be like an animatronic goose singing at you during the ride. Can we switch gears a little bit? And I just wanted to ask you about Kyle Lowry singing protesting Philly. That was pretty tight, right?
Yeah, I was so happy. I mean, I don't know. Lowry is also a good example of someone who, like, I've talked warmly about his body. But Lowry also knows people talk about his butt, and he's, like, laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I think when you're, especially if you're kind of a small player like Lowry is, it probably is, like, a little more of a point of pride.
Well, I
don't know. Like you're
if you remember right, Earl Boykins, when he was with the Golden State Warriors, he's the second Katie for if you don't know, Earl Boykins was he was 5'6", right, Sean? Or was he 5'5"?
Something like that. No, I think he was 5'7" officially.
But yeah, Earl Boykins was this pretty good player, actually.
He was only 5'5". You're right.
Yeah, he was 5'5".
Second shortest
player ever. Had to tell the Golden State Warriors to stop playing It's a Small World when he came into the game.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. See, like, that's terrible. Unless he didn't ask them to. Because I was going to say, you should tell the hot dog story that you told me.
Which hot dog story? The Charles Barkley one? Well, it's interesting. Charles Barkley, I was telling Katie, Charles Barkley kind of weaponized this kind of talk in sports to get drafted higher.
Uh huh.
Because yeah, he
this
went.
Is my, yeah. You know this story, Katie?
It's so well, I good. Do now, but I want to hear it again.
He went to Auburn, which was like a basketball backwater, and no one paid attention. It was the early 80s. And so he had to, like, he and his coach and the athletic department essentially devised a way to make him like a traveling circus so scouts would look at him. By giving himself names like the Round Mound of Rebound, the Crisco Kid. There's a video where he says all his names. I'll play this right now. Here's Charles Barkley in 1984 saying all of his nicknames. He is delighted by these nicknames, by the way, as he's saying them.
Hello, I'm Charles Barkley, the Auburn Tigers. Here are a few of my nicknames. The Bread Truck, the Love Boat, Food World, the Crisco Kid, which is my second favorite, the Wide Loaf and Lead, Town of Fun, the Good Time Blimp. But my favorite is the Round Mound, the Rebound.
But he also used to do stuff like eat hot dogs on the bench. So it would create this kind of like folkloric tale of this fat man who was good at basketball that you had to go see. And it all,
even though he was, yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, but just at the same time, he's also like maybe the strongest player in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, and it all culminates, my favorite part about the tryouts at the 84 Olympics. My favorite Barkley story. So Charles Barkley goes in, there's a week's worth of tryouts. Bobby Knight is the coach, and Bobby Knight basically starts out by fat shaming Charles and creates a target weight that Charles Barkley has to be at if he's going to make the Olympic team. And so Charles is like, fuck Bobby Knight. I don't want to play for him. But the NBA scouts and the and sponsors are there for the first 3 days of camp. So he has to go. And he plays...
Yeah, it's before the cutdown.
Yeah, and he plays really fucking hard. He's the best player in camp for those first 3 days. But also... He knows Bobby Knight's going to weigh him, and he doesn't want to play for Bobby Knight. So every night, there would be a pizza waiting in their dorm rooms for them to eat. And instead of showering after practice, he would run out of practice to the dorm room and eat the entire large pizza. And Steve Alford, who was his roommate, who's a bad person, we don't like
also
Steve
Bobby, Alford. Also, Bobby Knight favorite.
Too. Yeah, Bobby Knight favorite. Did not eat dinner that entire week because Charles Barkley ate the entire pizza. And he ended up gaining weight in camp, but also played so well those first 3 days, actually left there, went into the draft with more sponsorships than anyone else. Going into the draft, he'd signed more endorsement deals because of those 3 days than Michael Jordan, who was also in that camp.
I love that so much. It's just like, yeah, like he turned it around on everybody.
So good.
Anyway, be careful. The moral of the story is be careful when talking about your very large son's bodies.
Also, maybe consider beefy nephew, you know?
Katie?
Maybe people don't have to be your fake family members, too.
Yeah, maybe call your regular family.
So this has been Body Shaming Watch with Katie Heindel. Katie, is there anything else you want to talk about right now? Do you want to talk about the bubble? Do you want to talk about Kyrie Irving leading a player revolt currently? Apparently. Because he wants less of a bubble. I think that's what they're arguing.
Someone was like a league executive was like, so out of one of those stories, they were like, it's not a bubble. It's more of a mesh hat. Which is really messed up and like proves the point how this entire time it's not that there's a no airtight plan. There's like no plan. It keeps changing.
Not at all.
And I think like, all these guys, like, I mean, the thing with Kyrie is I'm sure he like is now doubling down on maybe what he said before. I mean, maybe they also didn't even ask him, but if like all those superstars agreed, this was my thing. When they said they were like, okay, there's going to be an opportunity for players to opt out, I don't think they would have announced that without having side conversations earlier with like superstar players, like either them directly or their representation, and had the confirmation that like they were in, because it wouldn't have been worthwhile to push this hard to continue if you knew, like, you know, LeBron's not going to play, Kawhi's not going to play.
LeBron
like,
is going to play.
I know, but thing. Like, that's what I mean. Like, they would never, the NBA never, I don't think, would have pushed this hard to, like, do the bubble if they didn't have confirmation that's, like, the stars would play. And then knowing that the stars would choose to play, no one else is going to opt out because, like, they look like a loser.
Well,
no?
You want to see you want to hear a fun tweet that just got tweeted an hour ago.
Please.
So this is, it's funny that it appears to be Kyrie versus LeBron again now. That's what's going on here. But Vincent Goodwill just tweeted, Yahoo sources, several high-profile players are communicating with their counterparts and educating them on potential negative financial impact not playing would have on the players, not just for this season, but moving forward. So now we're getting into money shaming.
Yeah, yeah, that's not counseling. Yeah, they're shaming them.
Yahoo sources they're continued. Like, the high-profile players, quote-unquote Chris Paul and LeBron James, are also relaying that the NBAPA won't have any leverage negotiating a new CBA with owners in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, that's the weirdest, creepiest narrative that is clearly coming from someone else, because so many people have been tweeting like, well, the owners are going to, if every player doesn't come, I guess we're going to tear up the CBA. Looks like the players are going to get even less basketball related income unless they play this carnival tournament. Also, when we've talked about the mesh hat, which is, again, an appropriate metaphor for Central Florida, it is the official headwear, just edging out the visor with a sexual pun. That's number two in Central Florida. But Disney World's opening on July 11th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Disney World. Mm-hmm. A lot of visitors at the exact same place.
I never even like considered that initially, because I guess in my brain, it's so far away from how this would ever make sense. Right. And I just didn't think it was an option. And then someone told me that last week. They're like, well, the park's probably going to open. And I couldn't even reconcile it mm-hmm. with the bubble plan. Cause I was like, how, well, then they don't have anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then there's nothing. And they must've known that all along. Cause
they should have canceled the season 2 months ago.
Yeah. And it's isn't like be, yeah. soccer also, like, isn't MLS also having a like adjacent bubble at yeah, Disney and
they,
as well?
They also want to have a very nearby WNBA
yeah,
bubble.
Where they're making them stay at like a Howard Johnson.
Yeah, they're at a Howard Johnson, and they only get, like all the NBA players are like, don't worry about it. We got chefs. We're going to help you out. You can maintain your diet. And the WNBA, it's like two box lunches a day. You're on your own for breakfast. Also, the hotel pool is only open from 10 to 2 every day. And internet is $7.99 a day.
it just keeps getting grosser, and it just keeps becoming like a quagmire that's like, it's very hard to reconcile any good thing the NBA has done like during the pandemic yeah. with like this.
The Florida had its highest number of new COVID cases yesterday with 1,900. Mm-hmm. It broke the old record of 1,700, which was set yesterday. Mm-hmm. So trending well.
But don't worry, that's well. Just because there's more tests now. That's why, Sean.
Yeah, that's
don't worry
the
about
reason.
It. It's the just because we can actually test people now that the numbers are high.
Well,
doesn't have anything to do with... Sorry.
Do you guys think that they'll start it and then just have to stop it? Because they also, if they're like, okay, if one player gets sick, we have like backups. I guess they're calling up every single like G League like yes. reserve that they have. But well, then when they all get sick, because if like that's what's going to happen, do you think they'll just cancel the continuation?
Here's the thing. I don't think any players are getting sick, but I think hundreds and hundreds of Disney employees are going to get sick. Yeah. That's my fear. Frankly,
because they're not going to be isolated yeah. in a bubble.
And also, we'll never hear about it.
Like, hey,
no one will ever report on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's also fucking Tillman Fertitta doesn't have to sell his fucking novelty basketball team.
Yeah.
It's so gross. It's just like it keeps getting grosser.
And I
grosser.
Say this as a person who's actually financially tied to this. Like, it would be better for me if they played, but I don't want them to play.
it just seems like there's the rush to reopen things is more tied to the U.S. government just not taking care of its citizens in any way rather than any actual it doesn't seem like people are actually wearing face masks or doing tests or like really taking that many safety precautions. But you know, LA is opening bars today. Why are they opening bars today? And I guess it's like business owner pressure. I don't know. it doesn't feel like there's really much of a plan for anything. Especially now that, I mean, what are they, if they're negotiating for players to have more freedom of movement inside the bubble, that seems like not a responsible thing. But also I can understand that the players
are looking at the rest of the country and being like, hey, why do we have to be in a bubble? Nobody else is.
But also mm-hmm. just like, you know, that it's this time when the U.S. seems to finally be collectively realizing, you know, that how much exploitation of black people there's been. And then the NBA is like, OK, they're living in an amusement park. We don't have enough on TV. People really didn't like that Lance Armstrong documentary. We got to get some stuff on ESPN. It's so close to the plot of Space Jam, because what happens in Space Jam if Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan lose is that he has to play at an amusement park. It's like, and the whole NBA team basically, the whole NBA Players Association basically lost to the Monstars, and now they have to play at Moron Mountain forever.
Which are like the evil owners. Yeah, like Tillman and Fertitta.
Yeah.
It's I don't know, it's messed up. And it is it's an optics thing. Like, all along it has been, right? And like it's been damaging to in terms of like, I mean, in terms of like, if they continue, it normalizes even further the fact that this rhetoric that like everything is fine and we're all collectively over the pandemic, which is like still raging. But and also, like over wrote like people sorry like oh, over yeah. just like, you know, us unparalleled since the civil rights movement. So I think, I mean, it's not hard to like draw the parallels of that to like the current administration there, and just in terms of like how evil that feels. Mm-hmm.
But this would be happening under fucking Obama, dude. This is all just like part of people's just like rage into wanting forcing the country to reopen again has to do with like American culture, like your freedom is tied to like quote unquote freedom in American society is tied to making and spending money.
Yeah.
That's what freedom is to you. Like, it's why people think their freedom of speech is being violated when Twitter's like, hey, you can't tweet that.
It's all like, you don't tell me what to do. Yeah. I'm going bowling.
But yeah, freedom in this country is tied to making and spending money. So people didn't do that for 2 months, and then they were like, but I'm not free, I'm a slave! It's fucking gross. All of this is gross. They should have canceled the season. I know lots of my friends are like, no, the NBA's gonna do it right, and like, I hope they're correct, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure the guy washing Joel Embiid's sheets is going to get really sick, and then he's going to get his grandma sick because he had to go to fucking Disney World every day for $15 an hour.
People are acting like a superstar's mom didn't die of COVID a month mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, otherwise we would have to maybe pay some government services that could possibly go to minorities, and in America, that is not possible. We got one check, Katie. One check. what is the government doing in terms of economic relief in Canada? Like, are you getting? Did you get some kind of like Corona stimulus check or anything?
Yeah, you can apply for it every month. It's $2,000 for everybody every month.
Oh, not just one single time.
Mm-mm.
Oh, do they delay the payments for 3 or 4 weeks so Justin Trudeau can have his signature on all the checks? Is that something they do in Canada?
No, they're direct deposit and they come in 2 days.
Did they also
did they tax for your?
Yeah, did they tax the money?
No, that's the thing. It's not taxed, so you got to pay it back in tax. And now, because they fucked up a little bit, I don't want to make it sound so great, because they fucked up a little bit on the administration process, and they're claiming to that like some people have, you know, claimed it and don't need it, and now they're threatening jail time.
Oh, okay, that's terrible.
Like, no one has really gotten it right. At all.
Now, but does that helps you pay for your doctor's visits, right? Getting that stimulus check?
Oh. No, you can just do some online shopping.
Oh, you live in a normal country. I see that. Okay. It's, sometimes it's you know. But obviously there's no way to change it in America. It's got to be like this forever.
Mm-hmm. All right. Katie, we're going to let you go. Sean and I are going to talk about some other stuff. Katie, please plug your things.
Okay. the basketball feelings draft is I'm trying to speed it up because
it's been going on for a very long time.
It's
are you gonna finish before the restart?
I hope so. So I gotta
we made the first pick how many weeks ago?
A few, like over a month ago. Look,
Rudy Gobert was completely pick number are you on when now? That happened.
9. On the 10th. The person making the 10th pick is making their pick. So, you know, now I know going forward, just in terms of like maybe giving people firmer deadlines, including myself. But there's a lot to go. So, you know, if you've missed some, you got time to catch up and you got time to get into it.
We did ours early. Well, you did ours on deadline. You asked us and we did it like the next day.
Yeah, you guys were perfect. Like that was perfect. Thank you. So yeah, that, as you mentioned, my podcast with the other Sean Woodley, basketball. I'm also part of a all women podcast called Dishes and Dimes. It talks about basketball and the Raptors, but mostly the NBA wide. And then, I don't know. I'm probably going to write something about all these perverts, so look out for that.
Well, thank you to my very small daughter Katie Heindel for coming on. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
Katie. Bye. So that was Katie talking about her very large son, Nikola Jokic.
Good job, Mama.
Sean, there's been. We were supposed to come on today and talk about the NBA restarting, but it looks like they announced the restart, and now Kyrie Irving is leading a revolt against restarting the season. So should we hold that? Should we talk about the season restarting later?
Like, let's talk about the reactions. We can talk about the mechanics of it in a little bit, because we need to find out Kyrie's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's always important to check in with Kyrie when anything of consequence happens in the NBA or the banking system, or you know, if the Illuminati have released a statement, and he is right now the spokesman for the Players Association in the bubble and the spokesman for the Illuminati in professional mm-hmm. sports. So we'll wait until we get to the details. Let's look at what the teams have been doing in terms of a reaction, because again, well, things are still a little up in the air. So let's talk about those team reactions.
Well, these aren't reactions to the bubble. I do want to point out real quick, definitely Kyrie Irving. What are the chances Kyrie Irving believes the coronavirus was created in a lab in the Denver airport?
It's pretty high. He doesn't really believe in altitude, so I think he's like, I always get lightheaded in Denver. That's probably because of the government disease lab.
Yeah, and then he probably thinks 5G also has something to do with it. But I did want to point out how poorly certain... Look, okay, let's talk about... I want to talk about two teams and how they've handled... The Black Lives Matter protests. One team is the Washington Wizards, who, for my money, of all the NBA teams, released the best statement. Should I read the statement?
Do it.
They released it on Instagram on June 1st, so right away. We will no longer tolerate the assassination of people of color in this country. We will no longer accept the abuse of power from law enforcement. We will no longer accept ineffective government leaders who are tone deaf, lack compassion, or respect for communities of color. We will no longer shut up and dribble.
That's great.
Yeah. Using the word assassination of people of color is great. I mean, it's horrible. They had to, obviously. But I feel like for a very black league, all of the white-owned PR firms should have released statements as strong as this, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you like especially teams that have had players actively harassed by the police. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like how do the Atlanta Hawks not have an incredibly strong statement about this when the NYPD literally broke the leg of one of their players?
Sterling Brown got tased last year for parking in a handicap spot.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. And those are the two that just jumped to mind. I'm sure there's just been an insane amount of harassment.
Well, there's Masai.
Masai in Oakland that happened. Yeah. That's just terrible. Like this, it's also such a layup. You know what I mean? Like it's, like all these teams are so into efficiency, like you know what the right thing to do here is.
And that is fire Ryan Russillo.
Fire Ryan Russillo. Get him out of there. He can join the Malibu Police Department.
Uh-huh.
Like his lifelong dream has been. And, you know, then he has easier access to steroids, which it's a win-win for all those guys.
I also would like to see, frankly, NBA reporters make stronger statements about it. Instead of, you know, if you want access, your entire lives are drooling over access to talking to black players. Maybe mention that you care about black people.
Mm-hmm. But I will say shouts to Zach Lowe, who's been surprised.
Who's been the best one on it.
I mean, Zach Lowe rules, man.
Well, of the white writers, the, I should point out, the whites, been the best.
Okay, so, you know, good job, Wizards. Joey, do you think that was purely motivated by Ted Leonsis and his responsibility to his players?
I do not. So Ted Leonsis has been trying to reunite Fugazi for 2 years now at a Wizards game, I believe.
Yeah.
And this is a please let me stay at Discord House and play my giant arena Fugazi. Ass statement. You know, I don't think it's gonna work, but keep trying, bud.
Yeah. I mean, I hope Ian MacKay sees that, you know.
Hopefully Ian MacKay sees it. Hopefully Guy Pizzicato sees it.
How did I pronounce both his names wrong?
I know what you did, because you always get tripped up by Jan Mahinmi. Who plays for the Wizards. So, and his name is spelled Ian. So I do understand why you did that.
Yes. Sorry. Jan Mickey Eye of Fugazi.
Yeah. Good job, Wizards. I should also point out, we celebrities have not been, doing very well here. I'm Responsible video. Did you watch that, Sean?
I did, and I couldn't tell if it was an indictment of the video or my cultural knowledge that I didn't know who half the people were.
I also did not know who a lot of those people were.
I really think the next step is we're going to get like some reality show contestants doing like makeup tutorials for Black Lives Matter. Like that's how we've been declining with our celebrity videos.
Anyway, I just wanted to point out Brett, Randy, Brooke, Robin, Bill Simmons, and Psychedelic Kyrie sent us a version of the I'm Responsible video, but it was so vague, I've opted not to play it.
Yeah, it's also, Brooke and Robin's is, they just get so into, like, a lot of minutia about the production of Song of the South. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was inappropriate.
Yeah. But let's talk about our favorite team making a bad statement, Sean.
Yeah.
The Warriors players have done a great job. Juan Toscano-Anderson led a protest. In fact, I'm going to say, go out on a limb here. All NBA players have done a great job with their fame and, well, not all. Gordon Hayward, get fucked. But even a lot of white players have done a good job helping to, in this moment. But you know who did not do very well, Sean? The Golden State Warriors GM, Bob Myers.
Warriors again.
Yeah, he said on a conference call the other day, quote, "I hope sports can heal. One of my favorite parts of sports is its colorblind and meritocracy of sports, of sorts. You don't get judged by how you look. You get judged by how you perform." Well, he should talk to my once large son, who is now very skinny, about getting judged on how you look. But
very good point.
This is whack as shit, dude.
It's just like, it is very much a, like, does Bob Myers truly believe that the organization of the Golden State Warriors, which employs a coach that used to golf with the owner, the son of the owner, didn't they employ one of Jerry West's kids
too? They still
too?
Do, yeah.
That's a meritocracy.
Also Mike Dunleavy
Absolutely.
Jr.
Oh, Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so it's just like their own organization is based on nepotism and connections. And look, maybe those guys are doing a good job. Maybe they're not doing a good job. But like, it is some white shit to just ignore that there's no barriers in basketball based on race. Like, it's better. It's not like it's the NFL.
Sure.
Which has like no, very few black coaches or executives. But at the same time, I wouldn't call it a meritocracy.
No. Also, stop saying colorblind white people.
Yes.
If anything has been proven in the last 200 years in this country, it's, colorblind is wrong. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's nothing colorblind in this country.
Uh-huh.
And, also maybe striving to erase color is also, some white fucking bullshit. Anyway. Sean, did you see that David Guetta video that came out
I did.
When all of this
I
was
did.
Going on?
The weirdest thing about that, I will say, is that it was like he didn't realize that people had sampled things like that before for a really long time. And it was the way he presents it feels like I just blew your mind.
Well, also, I mean, the speech at the beginning. Look, I only bring it up because I've made a Bob Myers remix of the David Guetta video. Here's that.
The world is going through difficult times, and America too, actually. So last night, I knew we were going to do this, and I made a special record. So this record is in honor of George Floyd. And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
I hope sports can heal. One of my favorite parts of sports is it's colorblind. Sports can heal. It's colorblind. It's colorblind.
All right, I don't think we're going to top that. Sean, I think that's our show.
That is our show.
Plug the plug our this week's charity.
Yeah. So ellabakercenter.org.
Give money if you have it.
They're very good at auditing local law enforcement in the Bay Area, lobbying for anti-abuse, figuring out the true cost of incarceration on both society and the families. And they have a movement that is called Freedom Cities, which basically just tries to make entire towns and communities safe for immigrants, black people, Muslims, workers, all oppressed communities, and essentially just letting people live without the fear of, you know, economic and physical violence.
Mm-hmm. Anything you need to plug personally?
I mean, I don't need to. If you're taking a break from your activism, I wrote 20 reasons to be jacked about the restart. There is a little discussion of bodies. I do refer to Nikola Jokic as a mini fridge, but I feel like I'm doing so in a loving sense. And my point is actually that the NBA becomes more relatable the more out of shape the players are.
Mm-hmm. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Where on December 2nd, 2014. No, that's actually not a good one. On March 12th, 2014, I tweeted, if I accidentally put a live scorpion in my mouth and chewed on it, am I going to die? Don't ask how that happened, but my tongue is numb.
I think maybe he's going to die, just mm-hmm. whether he does that or not.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And defund the police.
Defend the police.
Especially if you're my very large son.
When Boogie got hurt early in the playoffs, Draymond Green needs a day off. When Andre Iguodala strained his calf, trailed by 15 in the first half, in the first half. Clay is tired, watch for Myers. Left Steph open for three, they're only sweeping. Everybody thought the Dubs were loaded, but then KD's calf exploded. All the bench rotations went to hell, had to lean on Jordan Bell. What the hell? Damian Jones got a star, a curb brain fire, but after all, they're only sweeping. Keeping an eye on the Currys wearing their split jerseys. They're rooting for Steph, but the coaching staff gets rolling sevens. They even played Jacob Evans. Give the ball to Dre, Steph bombs away. And after all, they're only sweeping. Keep an eye on the Portland small market energy, blaming the refs. Dame says Portland would have won with Nurkic. Zach Collins fouls Kanter's Turkish. When Dame tried to take the winning shot, Draymond Green got the block. What a swat. Quinn Cook's puny, can't stop Looney. Bogut got a jam, they're only sweeping.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.